Harry, one of Sheriff Black's deputies, noticed the men riding slowly into town. Six of them. They wore long dusters and rode fine horses. Horses way too costly for the average cowhand to ever afford. He quickly went to tell the sheriff what he had seen.
Harris, I think your brother's done gone and hired himself some real gunslingers. That's Yukon Gold and that bunch reining in by the hotel.
Damn.
Harris shoved back from the paperwork at his desk and grabbed his hat. He stepped out onto the boardwalk for a look.
Bronco Ford.
Harris eyeballed the six men as they dismounted and stood on the boardwalk in front of the hotel.
He's a bad one.
You know them yahoos, Harris?
I know them all, Harry. That short, stumpy one is Austin Charles. He's hell on wheels with a gun. That's Red Hyde next to him. That tall drink of water, Slim King. The big one in the bunch is Carson. They call him Grub, because he eats all the time. And when he's not hiring out his gun to kill people.
We got trouble.
Oh, they won't mess with any of us. They'll sure try Smoke Jensen. The man who kills Smoke Jensen can name his price after that.
That sorry-looking bunch is that fast?
They're professional gun handlers, Harry. It's how they make their living. Ah, my brother. Damn his eyes. He's declared war and he doesn't know what he's begun.
Harris.
Huh?
Smoke Jensen's riding in.
Oh, hell.
Smoke walked his horse over to the hitch rail and swung down. He had seen the six men lounging in front of the hotel, and his eyes had picked up on the strange brands. He knew the men for what they were. They had the mark on them just as plainly as the brands on their horses. Smoke stepped up on the boardwalk and nodded at the sheriff and his deputy.
Trouble over yonder, Smoke.
I see him. Did your brother hire him?
I don't know, Smoke. He no longer speaks to me. But I'd say it'd be a safe bet that he sent for those men.
Then there'll be more coming in. Men like those over there smell blood money. They've got the damnedest pipeline I've ever known. Word gets around like lightning. Your brother's made up his mind.
To do what? Defend his own land? God damn it, it's his, Jensen. He settled it and proved it up years ago. You came in here and laid down your challenge. What the hell you expect him to do?
You defending him now, Harris?
No, I'm not. He did wrong and I know it. But even if I went to a judge and signed a deposition that my brother told me he planned the raid, it's doubtful that the judge would let it be entered as evidence. Damn you, yeah, my brother admitted to me that he ordered the raid. But it comes down to my word against his. Can't show any solid proof that Clint engineered the ambush. That's the way it stands now.
I see. Well, you ask what I expect of your brother. Now let me ask what you expect of me.
Take your wife and what hands you have left and go back to Colorado.
And let murderers go unpunished?
It's not up to you, Jensen. That's my job. And the judges and lawyers and juries. You don't want justice, Jensen. You want revenge. Just like when the Slater gang attacked Big Rock, shot up the place. How many of them did you kill, Jensen?
All of them.
Just tracked them down one by one and killed them?
We faced each other, Black. You know me that well.
Suppose I could guarantee you that my brother would never harm another person. That I would personally see to that. That he would fire his gun hands, his whole crew, hire nothing but cowboys, and stick with ranching his property. If I could convince him to do that, would you leave?
Yes. Yes, I would. When he connies to me and faces me and tells me that personally, when he swears to me that the Double D and all the other ranchers in this area will be left alone, and I see his hands leave and new men come in, cowboys, I'll leave. You have my word.
Fine. I think I can get him to agree to that. You meet me here at my office first thing in the morning.
I'll be here.
You've got to be out of your mind. You want me to apologize to Jensen, crawl around on my belly like a whipped dog? You go to hell, Harris. You just go straight back to town and take your stupid suggestions with you. Just go to hell, big brother, and stay out of my affairs.
You break the law, Clint, you're going to jail. That's a promise.
You'll never put me behind bars, Harris. Don't ever try to do that.
If the time comes, I won't try to do it, Clint. I'll just do it. Clint, think about this offer. Think on it, man. It means peace. Clint, my God, you're a wealthy man. You have all the money you could ever spend. You got a fine home, great holdings of land. You got it made. Jensen is willing to ride out and put this tragedy behind him.
Sure, Harris, but only after I grovel in the dirt like a bum begging for a handout. No way.
Harris opened his mouth again to plead with his brother. Clint's hard words closed it.
I don't want to hear any more of your sniveling. No more of it, Sheriff Black. Not another word. Leave me alone about it and stay out of my affairs. Now get out of my house, Harris, and don't come back, you hear me? Don't come back!
You're a fool, Clint. You're a fool. I don't care how many gunslicks you hire. You're not going to win this fight with Jensen. He'll kill you. He'll break you, humiliate you. And then he'll kill you.
Get out! Get out of my house, goddamn you! Get out, I say!
Harris picked up his hat and started for the door. He turned around and looked at his brother.
Bye, Clint. I used to think that Mother and Father would be proud of you. They wouldn't be. Ma would have prayed nightly for you, and Dad would have slapped you down to the ground for what you become. You're a common thief, a treacherous schemer, a cheat, and now a murderer. You're a disgrace to our parents' good names. And I'm glad they're dead, so they don't have to see this.
Why, you hypocrite! You weren't nothing but a goddamn paid gunfighter for years. I dragged you out of the gutter and made you what you are.
I was never in the gutter, Clint. And yes, I hired my gun, but I never shot a man who wasn't facing me with a Colt in his hand or in his holster. And I never bushwhacked or drew first. Like Jensen, I never had to. And I never harmed a child or a woman or killed anyone's pet dog or cat or horse for meanness like you done more than once.
I don't need a damn sermon from you.
I was proud to come be the law in Blackstown, Clint. Chest swelling proud. My little brother made it big, and I was so proud of you. I just didn't know at the time how you made it. And I finally pieced it all together and found out it was by lying and cheating and stealing. And I reckon by murder, too. But you kept me out of that, because you knew I wouldn't stand for it. You dragged my name down into filth with you, Clint, but I stood by and let you do it, because we're brothers, I reckon. But this tears it, brother. This is the end of it.
Who the hell needs some broken-down old gunhawk? You're nothing. Nothing. You got nothing. I got it all. Money, the finest wines and whiskeys, all the women I want anytime I want them. Hell, you don't even own a decent pair of boots. I got a dozen pair in my bedroom, the finest made. You got nothing, Harris. Holes in your socks, probably.
You know, Clint, you're almost right about one thing. Only it wasn't the gutter I was in. It was a sewer. A stinking, slimy sewer. And I climbed in it when I went to work for you. But I climbed out, Clint. You're still wallowing around in the filth. You stink of it.
Smoke took one look at Sheriff Black's face and knew he had failed in his mission to convince his brother to pull in his horns.
So I guess the next move is up to you, Smoke.
I'm sorry that you failed, Harris.
I believe that, Smoke. You could have killed those hands in the saloon, but you were content to hang a pretty fair country butt-whipping on them and let them go. That tells me a lot about you. One of my men spotted a couple more gunslicks this morning. They avoided town and head for the Circle 45. It looks like trouble's coming. There's nothing I can do about it.
I'm going to call your brother out, Harris.
Yeah, I figured you were. But you're going to wait until he comes to town and make him take water. I told him last night that he couldn't win this fight, that you'd humiliate him. He didn't believe me.
Will he fight?
No, he's a vain strutting rooster, but he's no fool. He's not going to pull on you. It'd surprise me if he even came to town wearing his gun. I know my brother, Smoke. I don't think he is bringing those hired guns in here to kill you. I think he's bringing them in to protect himself from you. He's going to try to wait you out.
He's got a long wait.
A deputy stuck his head into the office.
Here comes your brother, Harris, and he's got a lot of men with him, including them new hired gun handlers.
Harris cut his eyes to Smoke. He knew the man had ridden in alone, but the expression on Smoke's face hadn't changed. Harris didn't think Jensen had 1 ounce of fear in him.
They're going into the saloon.
Well, damn it, man. What are you gonna do?
Smoke set his coffee cup on the desk and rose from the chair. He smiled at the sheriff.
Why? Go pay my respects to your brother, of course.
Smoke turned and walked out of the office.
Damn it. Everybody get a greener and load it up. I'm not gonna have trouble in this town.
Smoke pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside the beery-smelling saloon. As Harris had predicted, Clint was not wearing a gun. But those men surrounding him had plenty of six guns belted around their waists. Smoke unbuckled and untied and hung his guns on a peg of the hat rack. Clint watched him, puzzlement in his eyes. The gun hands exchanged glances, not understanding what was going on.
Morning, Clint. Fine day, isn't it?
Clint turned his back to Smoke.
What's the matter, Clint? Didn't you sleep well last night?
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Harris and his deputies entered the bar, spreading out, all of them with sawed-off shotguns in their hands.
Why, I'm just concerned about your health, that's all. You seem a little out of sorts this morning. Maybe you need a good dose of salts.
Why don't you just mind your own damn business? And don't you worry about my health. None of your business.
My, my. How touchy we are.
Clint and his hands all ordered either beer or whiskey.
Alcohol this early in the morning is not good for a body. I read that in a medical advisor.
Who the hell cares what you read? If I want a drink in the morning, I'll have a drink in the morning.
Oh, by all means, go ahead. A man never knows when it might be his last one.
What the hell does that mean?
Oh, you know how it is out here, Clint. A man's horse might throw him, a snake might bite him. Some Indian might leave the reservation looking for a scalp. Lots of things could happen. Have another drink.
I don't want another drink.
Your option. Mighty good coffee, barkeep. Mighty good. Coffee. Now, that's good for a man. Sharpens the senses. Whiskey. Now, it fills a man with false confidence. Makes him do foolish things. You're wise not to have but one drink, Clint.
Give me another damn drink.
Two whiskeys. Now, that probably won't hurt a thing. Man takes more than two, though. Especially this early in the day. He's asking for trouble.
You shut up.
I'm not talking to you, Clint. I was speaking to the barkeep.
Well, I'm tired of hearing your mouth rattle.
Free country. Of course, if you feel like you're a big enough man to shut me up, come on.
That's it. I'll have no trouble in this town.
God damn it, Harris. I come into town for a drink and some conversation. I don't have to listen to someone pop off with the mouth.
Neither one of us is armed, Sheriff. What trouble could we cause? Of course, now I see all these gunslingers are toting two guns, at least. Yukon there. I know he carries a .41 Derringer in his boot. Slim King's got a knife hung down his back. And a man doesn't ever want to turn his back on Red Hide. He's a back shooter.
You low-down fucking pig!
I said no trouble. You, Red, get out of town.
A deputy lifted his sawed off, those cavernous muzzles pointing right at Red's stomach.
All right, I'm going. But you, Jensen, you and me'll meet up sometime and we'll settle this.
Oh, we can settle it now, with this. But you won't do that, will you, Red? No, you won't. You're yellow without those guns yours.
Smoke.
That's you, Red. Damn coward.
Are you dirty?
Come on, Red. Show everybody how bad you are without those guns. You're afraid to take them off, aren't you, Red? Because you know when you do, the whole room full of people will see you for what you are. A dirty, back-shooting coward.
Red grabbed for his gun.
Very neatly done, Smoke. Very neat indeed.
What are you talking about?
How about you, Clint? Do you have the guts for a fight?
That's all for this day, Smoke. No more of this. I'm ordering you from this town, and you'd better heed that order.
Fine. I'm a law-abiding man, Sheriff. By the way, Clint, you're about 6'3" tall, aren't you?
Yeah, what of it?
I just didn't know the crap would stack that high, that's all.
Why, you son of a...
Don't do it, Clint.
Judd grabbed his boss and spun him around before he could take a swing.
That's what he wants, can't you see that?
Smoke stood smiling at Clint. Then he arrogantly tipped his hat at the man and walked out of the saloon, lifting his gun belt from the peg on his way out.
Somebody pick up Red and tote him to the Undertaker's.
What are we gonna use? A shovel?
Clint Black sat in his study in a leather chair by the fireplace, drinking shot after shot of whiskey, drinking it neat, chasing it with water. He thanked Judd for stopping him that morning back in the saloon. Clint was under no illusions about who would have been the victor in that fight. Smoke Jensen would have killed him with his fist, or at least crippled him. You could see it in Smoke's eyes, a cold, killing fury. It was one of those times when the alcohol had no effect on him. He reached for a cigar, then pulled his hand back. He didn't want another cigar, and he really didn't want the whiskey he just poured. He thought about Red, and the supper he'd eaten turned sour in his stomach. Once he'd gotten over his anger, he realized what his brother had meant that morning when he spoke to Smoke and said it was neatly done. Jensen had set that killing up as coldly as a striking rattler. Clint rose to his feet. He walked to the window and looked out at the lamplit windows of the twin bunkhouses, set off to the side and slightly in front of the big house, a respectable distance away. He had more than 50 men at his command. Hard men, good men with a gun, ruthless men who would kill man, woman, or child. And most had killed all three at one time or another. He had more money than he could ever spend, and vast holdings of land. And yet Clint felt a helpless sensation sweep over him. He didn't know what to do about Jensen. The man made him feel, well, inadequate. Clint had expected Jensen to come charging in days ago, waging war. Instead, he was laying back and biding his time. But for what reason? What was his plan? The man had to have one. Clint just couldn't figure out what it might be. Smoke and Sally were staying in one of the bedrooms of the ranch house on the Double D spread. It was a sturdy home with a half dozen big, comfortable rooms. The man who built it, or had it built, had looked to the future in his planning. But for him, it hadn't panned out well here. Smoke was going to see to it that it did work out for the Dugan twins.
What's your plan, honey?
My plan? I don't really have one. I almost made Clint mad enough to fight me this morning, but the foreman apparently has more sense than his boss and grabbed him. I don't think Clint's not wearing a gun will last long, though. But I can't see him pulling on me, no matter what I might say. But I will see him dead, Sally. Either by my hand or at the end of a rope. One way or the other.
Do you trust Sheriff Black?
Up to a point. But that point is broadening. I think after he failed to convince his brother to back off and live in peace with his neighbors, Harris began to see him in much different light. I get the impression that Harris is very disappointed in his brother.
Disappointed enough to shoot him, if it came to that?
I don't know, honey. I just don't know about that. I've known brother to shoot brother and father to shoot son and another way around. But I think for all his past, Harris Black is a good, decent man at the core. Could he kill his brother? I don't know. One thing I wish I did know. I wish I knew what Clint's next move was going to be.
Clint called his foreman over for breakfast at the main house. All the hands knew something was up, because any time Judd was asked to eat with Clint, something big was in the works.
When I came in here, Judd, I was no more than a kid. Not yet 20 years old. There was nothing in this part of the country except in Indians and outlaws. A few nesters. I run the nesters off, fought the Indians, and killed the outlaws. This part of the territory is mine. Has been for years, and I intend to see it remains that way.
The foreman ate slowly and said nothing, just listened.
Tell the men they're going to start earning their money today. I want Smoke Jensen dead. Jensen's gone out of the cattle business for the most part. He's going to raise horses. So he's got time on his hands to hang around up here and meddle in everybody's business. Well, I'm tired of him meddling in mine. Can't count on Harris anymore. That don't make no difference. He never really was included in any major planning anyway. Next thing we know, he'll have got religion and be going to church. New hands arrive?
8 of them. We still got empty bunks we could fill.
Problem is, Clint, there ain't nothing for them to do. They're just hanging around the bunkhouse, loafing and drawing their pay.
Well, did Tex come in?
Late yesterday.
All right. We start crowding the Double D hands. Push them into a fight. Make sure our boys get lots of witnesses. Leave the women alone.
How about them snot-nosed kids Jensen brung up with him?
They're drawing a man's pay and sitting in the saddle. They get in the way too bad. After breakfast, send the boys out in groups of 5 and 6. Tell them to go get into trouble.
Raul, the young Mexican who took care of the house and the lawn at the Double D, had taken the wagon into town for supplies early that morning. When he wasn't back by mid-afternoon, the twins got worried.
Raul does not drink, and he's very dependable. He stood by us through the worst. I'm afraid something has happened to him.
I'll ride in and check on him.
Smoke found the wagon a few miles from the ranch. It was overturned and the supplies scattered. The harnesses had been cut and the horses were gone. A few minutes later, he found Raul. The young man had been badly beaten and then dragged. He was alive, but just barely. Smoke emptied a pistol into the air, knowing that would bring the Double D hands at a gallop. Waymore and Cletus were the first to arrive.
Get to the ranch and get a buckboard, Cletus. Waymore, you get Stoney and Ted and start tracking the raiders. Ride with your rifles in hand. Lie still. You're hurt bad, Raul.
Fatso was in the bunch, Mr. Smoke. So was Art Long. They beat me and dragged me.
Shh. Don't talk anymore. We'll get you into town to a doctor. You'll be all right. Just lie still for now.
Everybody came fogging down the road with the buckboard. The bed had been filled with hay, and Raul was lifted as gently as possible and placed on the soft ones.
Jeff, get him to town. You boys are now in charge of the house and the grounds, including the barn and corral. You are not to leave the grounds unless I say so. Is that clear?
Everyone nodded their heads.
Get back up to the ranch and see to things, and stay in sight of the house. I'll tan your butts if you disobey me. Get moving.
The boy's gone. Smoke looked at Denver.
Look after him, Denver.
Will do, boss.
The old cook swung into the saddle and headed back to the ranch.
No riding, Sally. You keep on teaching the twins how to shoot a rifle and stay close to the house and go armed at all times. Load up all the guns, especially the shotguns, and place them in every room and on the front and back porches. The war has started.
Smoke waited on the boardwalk in front of Doc Garrett's office and small clinic. He turned as Sheriff Black quietly closed the door and stepped out.
Doc says he'll probably make it, but he's busted up pretty good. I got his statement for all the good it'll do.
The Circle 45 hands will alibi for each other.
You know it. Raul is well-liked in this town. He was polite and would do anything in the world for people. He came in with some sheepmen. My brother ran the sheep off, killed a lot of them, probably had his hand in killing the sheepmen. Raul stayed around doing odd jobs. When the Dugan twins came in, he went to work for them, in direct defiance of Clint's orders. I warned Raul to go armed, but he didn't like guns. Oh, God damn it. I'm going out to my brother's place. Don't expect any arrests.
I know you'll do all that you can, Harris. And I'm not being sarcastic. I mean that.
Try to keep your guns in leather.
Smoke did not reply to that. He stood on the boardwalk until after the sheriff had ridden out, then crossed the street and took a chair in front of the hotel. He figured some of the Circle 45 rowdies would be riding into town shortly for a drink, and he would be waiting. It was not a long wait. Smoke smiled when he saw the Wyoming man, Bayless, riding in with several of Clint's men. One of the deputies, Harry, stood across the street watching Smoke and the Circle 45 men. The rest of the deputies were out tracking the men who attacked Raul. Circle 45 men went into the saloon. Smoke stood up and headed for the saloon. As he passed by the deputy, he looked at him.
I just heard there was some trouble out at the farm about 3 miles west of here. Maybe you'd best go check on that.
Huh? I hadn't heard about any trouble.
I just told you.
The deputy got the message and nodded his head.
That would be the Jefferson's place.
Probably.
It'll take the rest of the afternoon for me to do that.
Pleasant ride, though. See ya.
Right, Mr. Jensen. See ya.
Smoke walked over to the saloon and pushed open the bat wings. A dozen locals were sitting at tables. Circle 45 hands were lined up at the bar, Bayless among them. Smoke stepped to one side, away from the bat wings, and put his back to a wall.
Any of you trash seen Fatso and Art Long today?
Bayless froze in the lifting a shot glass to mouth. He cut his eyes to Smoke.
You calling me trash?
That's right, Bayless. And worse. You're the one who beat it up here from Wyoming to tell Clint about the herd. I can't say that you were in on the night attack, but you're just as guilty. You wanted to brace me back on the trail, Bayless. Still want to pull against me?
Why not, Jensen? I think all that talk about you is bull anyway.
The three Circle 45 hands jerked their guns and both of Smoke's hands were filled with 44s.
Ah! You played hell, Jensen.
I usually do, partner.
I guess I took a wrong turn in life and I just never got back on the right road.
I reckon you did. But you can clean slate some this day.
How's that?
Did Clint Black order the attack on my herd?
Yeah. Yeah, I won't lie for him no more. All right. He ordered us to hit your camp and kill everyone there. Told us to bring them good-looking twins back to him. He wanted to have some fun with the gals before he got rid of them.
Did you know about Raul being dragged and beaten today?
No. But Judd said Clint told him to have us start earning the fighting wages we was getting. He put a bounty on your head, Jensen. Whichever one of us kills you gets $5,000.
Anything else you want to tell me?
Oh, it's getting dark, Jensen. I think I'm gone. That's funny. There ain't no pain. Yeah, Clint's done sent word all along the Owl Hoot Trail for gun hands. I don't know how many's coming in, but there'll be some. You can bet on that.
I'll have your name put on your marker.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Maybe we'll get to ride down a better trail someday. I'd like that.
Me too, Bayless.
Clint's joy at hearing about Raul was short-lived once one of his hands told him about the shooting in town. The hand took one look at Clint's face and immediately found an urge to be somewhere else, quickly.
I put one of theirs out of action and Jensen kills four of mine. I won't have any hands left at this rate.
His brother had been to see him and Clint told him he didn't know anything about Raul. Fatso and the others were working the range clear on the other side of his place, and he'd swear to that in court of law, and to get the hell off his property and stay off. Clint had slammed the front door in his brother's face. Furious, Harris Black wired a judge for advice. When the judge in the territorial capital of Helena ruled that the deathbed confession of Doug Randall could not be used in a court of law, the people in the sparsely populated area around Blackstown braced themselves for war. And it was not long in coming. Less than 24 hours after the attack on Raul and the shooting in the saloon, a group of Circle 45 riders, after getting juiced up on whiskey, decided to have some fun and hoorah a local farmer. They rode their horses through the family's vegetable garden, shot the milk cows and the pigs, and trampled the chickens. The farmer grabbed a rifle and blew one rider out of the saddle. The Circle 45 riders shot him to bloody rags, and as they were riding away, accidentally ran down one of the man's children, a 6-year-old girl. She died in the back of the wagon long before the nearly hysterical mother could get her into town at the Doc Garrett's office. So angry he was nearly trembling with rage, Harris Black rode out to confront his brother.
It was a damn accident. Them punchers was just having some fun, that's all. Nestor opened fire on them. What the hell was they supposed to do?
Fun? Fun? A man and a little girl are dead. All because you think you're some sort of king around here and the law doesn't apply to you. I want the men responsible for this, and by God, I want them now, Clint.
I paid them off and fired them.
You're a damn liar, Clint.
Get off my land, Harris. Get off and stay off. You ever call me a liar again, I'll kill you.
I'll see you hang, Clint. You're my brother, but you're no good. You're trash. You better toe the line from now on, Clint. Fire those no-count gun hands and walk light. You don't even realize what you've done, Clint. You're filled with such hate, you don't know that I could arrest you for attacking me.
You want to try it now?
Harris looked around at the various gunfighters that were watching the events unfold. He knew better than to even try.
I'm not a fool, brother. I might get lead in you and a couple of men before I shot out of the saddle, but it's just not worth it. You're not worth it.
Get out while you still can, Harris, before your big flapping mouth gets you in trouble. There isn't a damn thing you can do to me. I run this country, not you. Don't you get in my way. You might get hurt.
Mother would want you buried proper, Clint. I'll see to that. You poor damn pitiful fool.
Almost everyone who lived in the vicinity turned out for the funeral of the farmer and his daughter. Feelings were running very high, and there was some talk of a hanging. Harris knew it was just talk, so he let it ride. But he knew that if more of this continued, the talk just might change to action. Just about an hour after the funeral, he was gonna watch it do just that. An even dozen of Circle 45 riders came galloping into town, raising a cloud of dust and scattering people. A little dog was caught in the thundering hooves and was trampled. A small boy ran out and picked up the lifeless body of the pup.
You dirty scum! Murderers! All of you! Patches didn't do none of you no harm! Why'd you run him down, you crap!
I'll kick your guts out, you little turd!
The boy's father ran out of his store, shotgun in his hands. He was just lifting the weapon to his shoulder when the six guns roared. Suddenly, the street was filled with armed men and women. The Circle 45 riders looked into the muzzles of six guns, rifles, and shotguns. Harris walked through the crowd of armed and angry citizens.
Put those pistols back in leather and get off those horses if you want to stay alive.
The riders slowly complied.
Doc, how many bullet holes in Mr. Wisdom?
8.
Harris pointed to the man who'd slapped the boy.
You're under arrest for assault and battery against a child. The rest of you are under arrest for murder.
The deputies quickly came and collected the guns from the Circle 45 riders.
You boys know the way to jail. Now move.
Harris knelt down by the boy, who was still somewhat addled by the brutal blow from the tough. He helped the boy to his feet and handed the trampled little dog to a man standing nearby.
We'll see that your puppy gets a proper burial, lad. Now you go on over to your ma. She needs you right now.
Harris walked over to the tough who'd slapped the boy.
God damn filth! If I wasn't wearing this badge, I'd kick your face clear off your brainless head and let the hogs eat it.
The hand crawled to his hands and knees and then came up quickly.
You goddamn son of a bitch! I'll fucking kill you! Why?
I like kids and dogs.
Clint Black and Hans rode into town the next morning. He had sense enough to come in unarmed. He left his horse at the livery, and he and a half dozen of his men walked to the sheriff's office. They walked in a sweat, all of them knowing at least 50 or more guns were trained on them from doorways and windows all along Main Street. At the sheriff's office, they were met with sawed-off shotgun-carrying deputies. More sweat.
Don't sit down. You're not going to be here that long. State your business and then get the hell going.
Bail for my hands.
No bail for murderers. Judge's orders. That all you got to say?
You won't get a conviction from the people around here, and you know it. I'll hire the best lawyer in the state and beat it.
Trial's not going to be here. It'll be held in Helena. Hire your lawyer and go to hell with him. Anything else?
You want a war, Harris?
Is that a threat? You want to join your no-count hands behind bars for threatening a peace officer?
You mind if me and my boys have a drink in town?
Don't cause any trouble. The townspeople shoot you to ribbons. They've had it with you, Clint. They won't stand for any more crap from you or your hired guns. You can try to buy a drink, but I doubt if the barkeep will serve you.
Can I see my men?
After I search you.
You 10-star piece of crap! Who in the hell you think you're talking to?
A thug. One that needs to be back there behind bars. And I'm gonna put you there, Clint, believe that.
Are my men being fed?
You know they are. 3 meals a day. Now, if there's nothing else, I'm busy with paperwork.
You're dismissing me?
That's right, Clint. Good choice of words. I am indeed dismissing you. Oh, it might be a nice gesture on your part to go see the Widow Wisdom, since it was your man who killed her husband.
Go to hell!
Clint pulled up short at the sight of Smoke, sitting on a bench, smiling at him.
You!
Just me. You're expecting maybe the President of the United States? I mean, with you being such an important person and all, it wouldn't surprise me. Run along now, Clint. Bye-bye.
Run along? I don't take orders from you, you sorry goddamn son of a fucking whore. I will kill you until you are fucking dead. You hear me, you fucking no good piece of shit?
Harris jerked open the door and stepped outside.
Shut up, Clint. I said shut up.
Wild-eyed with fury, Clint turned on his brother, his fist balled.
Don't even think about doing that. Calm down and ride out of here. That's right, Clint. I'm ordering you from town right now.
Like I said, bye-bye.
Clint reached down and grabbed Smoke by the front of his shirt and hauled him to his boots.
You really are a dumb son of a bitch.
Clint released the grip on the shirt and Smoke popped him again. Smoke sidestepped and ducked and swung one foot, catching Clint on the ankle. Clint Black struggled to get to his feet. Smoke backed up further, his fists up and ready to go.
I'll kill you, Jensen. You're a dead man.
All I did was say bye-bye.
I'm gonna fucking kill you, you goddamn piece of shit.
Oh, hell.
Harris pulled a leather-bound cosh from his back pocket.
I will find your wife and rape her until her fucking insides fall out, you dumb son of a...
Tie him across the saddle and get him out of town, and by God, I mean right now. Move!
Clint was tossed belly down across the saddle, tied securely, and the horse led out of town. Harris looked at Smoke for a few seconds, then walked back into his office. That night, several holes were blown out of the back of the jail, and all the Circle 45 hands except the one charged with assault and battery escaped. He was lying on his bunk, hands behind his head, and smiling when Harris and his deputies arrived.
What can I say, Sheriff? I ain't no criminal. No point in me running.
Get out. Your horse is at the livery. Be kind of stupid leaving you in here with that hole in the wall behind you.
Now what?
They're out on the Circle 45 range. You can bet my brother had fresh horses stashed every few miles along the way. He got this idea from me. 20 years ago, I busted some friends of mine out of jail down in Kansas. They weren't in there for murder, just for barroom fights. Clint took a page out of my past in doing this. You think it's funny? Right out, come first light. I'll get flyers made up at the print shop and get them posted out across the territory. Come on, let's get this mess cleaned up.
That morning, Smoke did something he felt he should have done as soon as they cleared the ambush valley. He brought the teenage boys into town and sent them home on the stage. 3 went one day and the remaining 2 the next day. He wanted them out of harm's way. He walked down to Garrett's office and checked on Raul. The young man was looking and feeling better, and the doctor said he could be taken back to the ranch in a couple of days. After talking with Raul for a moment, Smoke walked over to the jail and looked at the holes blown into the rear of the jail building. Harry was the only deputy left in town. Harris and the others had ridden out the Circle 45 range.
How mad was Harris?
Not too bad. Not as upset as I thought he'd be.
The sheriff knows this situation is coming to a head, and he's feeling his way slow. I don't blame him. He's taking his life in his own hands just by riding out to his brother's place.
Oh, they might tie up in a fistfight. But when it comes to killing, I think Clint will walk up to the line and then back off on that. Look at all he's got to lose if he pulls a gun on Harris. If he just keeps that temper of his in check, maybe this thing can be smoothed down.
If I'd leave the country, you mean?
Something like that.
And if you were me?
A man's got to do what he's got to do, I reckon.
They're up in the high country, staying out of sight.
Harris spoke to Smoke the next afternoon.
Clint was actually civil to me yesterday, but he couldn't keep from smiling. He feels pretty good about what he did. You look like a man who just ate a sour apple. What's your problem?
I feel responsible for that merchant getting killed the other day.
That's nonsense. You didn't start this war, my brother did. No one in this town blames you. Hell, if you did anything, you stuck some steel into a lot of backbones around here. No, Smoke, no. In one way, my life would be a lot simpler if you'd leave, but that'd just make my brother even more cockier. I'm glad you got those boys out of this mess.
I should have done it days ago. I don't know why I waited so long.
Oh, shit.
Smoke looked to where Harris was pointing in the sky. Plumes of dark smoke were spiraling into it.
The Crawford Farm. Clint's been trying to buy it for years. Good water and good graze. Crawford's told me that Clint's threatened him a time or two. Feel like taking a ride?
Let's go.
The farmer lay face down in his wife's flower bed. He'd been shot twice in the head. The woman and three girls stood under a huge old tree, sobbing. The house and barn were gone, burned to the ground. Cows, pigs, and horses were dead too. All of them shot.
In broad open daylight.
Harris turned to his deputies.
Take off after them. But I got a pretty good hunch where they're going. They'll probably get to the river to try to lose you that way. Then they'll come out on the gravel and probably go back to the river where it curves. Stay with them. Provision at the bell spread.
I'll ride back to town for a wagon. Ma'am, do you want to stay on this farm and work it?
No. No, I want to leave this awful place.
All right. When you get to town, go to the new bank and tell them who you are. I'll have everything set up. I'm buying your place. You just name your price.
Harris stared open-mouthed at Smoke. This was really going to anger his brother. Jensen was pushing and pushing hard. Harris closed his mouth before a fly could find it.
See you, Harris.
Was that Smoke Jensen, Sheriff?
Yeah.
He doesn't look at all like the stories depict him. What a nice young man.
Believe me when I say that there are those who do not share that opinion, Mrs. Crawford.
Including your brother, Sheriff?
Yeah, especially my brother, Mrs. Crawford.
Smoke tossed the deed to the Crawford farm to Denver.
It's big enough to run a few head of cattle, some horses, and it has a whale of a garden there now. You said this run was going to be your last one. So, happy retirement, Denver.
Sally smiled. Nothing that Smoke did surprised her any longer. If he liked a person, that person had a loyal friend for life. And if he disliked a person, that person had better leave town on the first available horse, stage, or train.
You're a puzzlement, Smoke. Thank you.
Well, you can't leave until we get this Clint Black situation put aside. You certainly don't want to stay over there by yourself. You'd end up like Crawford. Besides, there's no house or barn. When the time is right, the First United Bank will loan you the money to get started.
Count on that.
They killed the man right in front of his family. Horrible. Clint Black has certainly lost his mind.
Oh, he's mad all right, Tony. But not in the way you think. He's crazy killing angry because for years he was the top fish in a small pond around here. He yelled frog and everybody jumped. Now the pond is a big lake, and nobody's paying any attention to him. He's striking out at anybody he sees. He thinks everybody is his enemy, and he's just about right on that.
And the sheriff seems powerless to act.
Harris is straight arrow, Jean. He wants everything done legal-like. All the T's crossed and the I's dotted. He'd put him in jail in a heartbeat if he had some proof that would stand up in a court of law. But he doesn't have it.
And not much chance of getting it.
Sadly true.
So, we're right back where we started.
Oh, no. You and your sister have the herd on Double D Range. The people in the community have risen up against Clint Black and his men. The sheriff now sees his brother for what he really is. And I doubt that Clint's bank will last out the summer. A lot has been accomplished, I'd say.
I just feel responsible for what's happened. All the tragedy.
Don't. Harris told me that before we came in, he'd heard rumblings of a citizens group forming to fight Clint in the Circle 45 hands. The good people of the community have decided to make their stand. The fuse was already lit when Clint ordered the raid against us. Harris said, very reluctantly, that our coming in might just have prevented a lot more spilled blood of innocent people than has occurred since we arrived. I'd like to think so.
Well, what's next?
That's up to Clint, I reckon.
Judd Howes was deeply troubled by the recent events that had unfolded. He found Clint Black sitting on his front porch.
We gotta talk, boss.
Are you gonna tell me to pull in my horns, Judd?
I'm sure gonna suggest it.
What else were you gonna tell me?
George Miller just come in from town. He said he was walking real light in there. It was some kind of scary. Everybody was carrying guns. And he also said that Smoke Jensen bought the Crawford farm.
God damn it! That $5,000 bounty on Jensen's head still stands, Judd.
What good would it do, Clint? When an old elk turns to make his final stand against the wolves or a cougar or a fight for a who's boss, he's made up his mind to stand or die. Same way with the people around here now. The killing would never stop. Two more hands rode out this morning. Clint, there ain't a real cowboy left on this place, except maybe you and me. And you got thousands and thousands of acres with no cattle to speak of.
What, you gonna start attending church, Judd?
It probably wouldn't hurt neither of us. Although it's more than likely too late to do us any good. Clint, Smoke Jensen ain't even broke a sweat yet in this fight. You and me, now, we know all about that man. He's hell when he gets going. He'll do anything. Guns, dynamite, fire, you name it and Jensen will use it.
He's just one man, Judd. Just one man. I don't agree with you about the people around here. They kowtowed for years. They're yellow clean through. With Jensen out of the way, they slink back into their holes.
He's a wild man when he gets riled up. There's one more thing. What about your brother?
I have no brother. He turned his back to me and showed me his true colors. As far as I'm concerned, he's an enemy.
You're going all the way with this, Clint?
Yes, I am. I don't have any choice in the matter. You see a choice for me?
All right then, Clint. You know I'll stand with you all the way.
I appreciate that, old friend. We'll whip Jensen. You just wait and see. We'll whip him.
On Stoney's word, Smoke hired two more hands for the Double D. Two young, easy-to-grin men who'd been working over in the Dakota Territory and drifted back home when they learned that someone was fighting Clint Black.
This here's Davy and Eli, Smoke. They ain't gunslingers, but they are good punchers, and they both hate Clint Black.
What did Clint ever do to you boys?
Put my daddy out of the ranching business. I was just a kid. Clinton is no count of hand, stole our cattle just after we rounded him up. Killed my brother. And when Ma heard that, she just collapsed. Died a couple of days later. Doc said it was a heart attack. Paul, he went after Clint, but Judd Howes found him first and stomped him half to death. Paul died a few years after that. He lost the ranch, and that stomping broke his spirit. I was 13 when I hit the road and started doing a man's work. But I'll tell you this, Mr. Jensen.
Smoke. Just smoke, Davy.
That's fine, Smoke. But what I was going to say is this. If I ever get Clint or Judd in gun sights, it's my sworn intention to kill him. I want you to know that up front.
Neither one of them is worth hanging over, Davy. Putting a rope around your own neck won't bring your Ma and Pa back. Don't worry, though. I feel sure you'll get your shot at one or both of those men. How about you, Eli?
Clint raped my sister. Took her like an animal, he did. This was years ago. I was no more than 5 or 6 years old. I seen him riding off from where he'd done it. Sis made me swear never to tell because she knew Pa'd go after him and Clint or his hands would kill Pa. When she learned she was with child, she killed herself rather than face a disgrace. It broke Ma's heart. Pa, he just was never the same. Clint, he come riding over big as brass, grinning like the cat who licked the cream. And he told Pa he was gonna buy him out. That day. Pa knew it was over. He took the money, piddling some that it was, and we pulled out. Injuns hit us down on the Ruby. I'd gone off into the woods to play, and they never knew I was about. Church people took me in. I run off when I was 11 and never looked back. But I intend to kill Clint Black.
You boys toss your kid in the bunkhouse and get ready for supper. My wife's cooking tonight, so it's gonna be good.
Mr. Jensen, Smoke, did your wife really strap on a pistol and take up a rifle and ride with you to help you out of a jam some months back?
She sure did. She was born back east to a wealthy family, but that lady can ride and shoot as good as any man, better than most. It isn't wise to cross her. Bear that in mind.
Can she cook as good as she shoots?
Better, Davy.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Eli. I think we done found us a home.
That same night, while the townspeople slept, the new First United Bank of Blackstown was robbed and the whole back of the building blown out with dynamite. But Smoke had suspected something like that might happen, and he had brought in other workmen from back east to build a second safe in the ground under the building, accessible by a trap door, which was covered by a rug. The Circle 45 hands made a clean getaway and beat it back to the ranch, taking a roundabout route. When the Circle 45 hands ripped open the bank bags to count their loot, they found washers at the bottom of the sacks and stacks of worthless old Confederate money in place of greenbacks. Clint was not amused.
Burn all that crap. Save the washers. We might need them around the place. $2 worth of washers. Jesus. That Smoke Jensen is really pissing me off.
Smoke rode into town early in the morning. Most of the businesses were not yet open. He'd awakened with a feeling that this day would be eventful. But this day would mark the turning point in this high country war. And Smoke had long ago learned to play his hunches. He had left the ranch before dawn, and his stomach was telling him he had missed breakfast. His eyes were busy, moving from side to side, but he could see nothing to give him cause for alarm. He stabled his horse and entered the cafe. He was the only customer. Smoke ordered breakfast and a pot of coffee. He watched as Doc Garrett walked slowly up the boardwalk and stepped into the cafe. The man looked weary.
You mind if I join you, Mr. Jensen?
Name Smoke. Please, sit down, Doctor. You look like you're about ready to fall down from exhaustion.
Oh, twins, Smoke. It was a hard delivery, but mother and babies are doing fine. No trouble last night from Clint?
No, but there will be today.
Can you predict the future, Smoke?
I play my hunches, Doctor. It's something I learned from mountain men. We're all born with that ability. You just have to work to develop it. Comes in very handy when danger's all around you.
And what kind of trouble will be coming your way this day, Smoke?
Guns.
The sheriff and his deputies rode out early this morning. Seems like some fellas tried to rob the stage, and they was headed this way. The news come in over the wires late last night.
Set up. 5 will get you 10 that one of Clint's men jumped the wires and sent the message to Suck Harris and his deputies out of town.
To attack this town?
No, that would be very foolish. They're coming after me.
Well, you don't think they might attack the Double D?
No, that's coming. I'm certain of that. But not yet. Clint wants me out of this game first. And he wants people to see me go down. He thinks that will put the fear back in him. But he's wrong. How far out of town did this attempted robbery take place?
Well, Harris said they was going as far as Slater's Pass. That's a pretty fair piece out. I expect they'll be gone most of the day.
Smoke ate his breakfast, poured another cup of coffee, and waited. He watched as the trouble hunter stepped up onto the boardwalk across the street and asked a man something. The citizen pointed to the cafe, and Smoke sighed. It was down to minutes now.
Am I missing something here?
A couple of young trouble hunters heading this way. Probably looking for me.
Oh, not more than 21 or 2 at the most.
But they're wearing guns. Now here, Doc, when you strap on a gun, that makes you a man.
How will you handle this?
That all depends on those 2 would-be gun slicks. Try to talk my way out of it if they'll let me.
The young men swaggered in, trying to look tough. To be fair, they did manage to pull off pathetic. But Smoke had noticed they had taken the hammer thongs off their guns. The pair looked around the large room, their eyes settling on Smoke.
Everyone, I would just like to announce you got the Shawnee Kid in hot.
Oh my! But we got the world-famous Smoke Jensen in here, Shawnee. Don't that scare you?
Why, I'm trembling in my boots just at the thought of Mr. Smoke Jensen. Tell you what, Hawk, maybe we ought to ride out to Circle 45 and tell Clint Black that we'll take care of his little problem with Jensen. Well, that is, if we can get Jensen away from that coffee pot.
If you boys have a problem, I think it would be wise to carry it somewhere else. This is the wrong town to start trouble in.
Because of you, Mr. Hotshot Gunfighter?
That's part of it.
What's the other part?
Actually, there's more than one. They've got the loneliest graveyard I've ever seen in this town. I'd hate to know I had to spend eternity on that hill.
What's the other part?
The cook has a double-barreled shotgun pointed right at your guts.
Both of their mouths dropped open and they jerked their heads toward the rear. Smoke left his chair like a striking snake and ran into the pair, knocking them sprawling.
Now stand up, dammit!
They scrambled to their feet and faced him. Smoke stepped closer to the one called Shawnee.
Draw!
Draw what?
Pretend you're drawing. Maybe this is the only way I can keep you alive and get you back home safely. Draw, dammit!
Shawnee's elbow was just bending when Smoke's .44 leaped into the young man's face.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You get the message, Shawnee?
Yes, sir.
How about you?
Real plain, Mr. Jensen.
Fine. Now you boys sit down and order you some breakfast. After you've eaten, ride back home wherever home is and forget about being gunfighters. The trails are long, the food is terrible, the company you keep is awful, the life expectancy is short, and the pay isn't worth a damn. Breakfast is on me, boys. Now sit down and eat.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The cook ain't holding no shotgun, Mr. Jensen.
I lied.
Circle 45 riders coming in. Ah, shoot. I was planning on going home and getting a few hours sleep this morning.
I think it's gonna get busy around here this morning. You better plan on an afternoon nap.